Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
Great time to be here.
Isn't it just?
Good time to be alive.
And, of course, this episode is going to be specially laser-focused on Elon Musk's SNL appearance.
We watched some snippets before the show started, and let me tell you, nobody does a Wario quite like Elon Musk. I was saying to you earlier, it's not even as good as that Twitter account called Italian Elon Musk.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah. Do you think that's where what they were originally going to do? Anyone, I can't do that.
Oh, that would be so good.
Because of branding and then whatever. God, it was atrocious.
I send the calzone out into space. I don't pay the taxes. Oh, it's good stuff.
Now that's jokes.
Hey, speaking of jokes.
Yeah.
Are you the kind of person who you wake up in the middle of the night and you go, "What a great idea." And then you write it down, and then you wake up the next morning, you're like, what is this?
I used to be that, but now I don't wake until somebody's screaming at me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All my blood is full. Those are my decisions.
Oh, that'll definitely
like,
do
I don't wake naturally anymore.
Well,
I used to be.
Okay, I think I know a lot of people who are like that.
Yeah.
Primarily the one that I do is I wake up and I think of something that I think is like good or interesting or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I simply go, well, that is so interesting. What I've thought of is so interesting. There's not even any need to write it down.
Yeah.
Because
totally,
I'll remember it in the morning and then I wake up and I go, did I have an interesting thought?
Yeah.
And I didn't. But this one I wrote, this
oh, here
this
we
happened
go.
Last night.
Wow.
I thought you'd be interested in this. It's a full thought as well. Because sometimes.
So you remember this in the morning or in
no,
the moment?
No, I wrote this down. I made a change in my lifestyle, which I think is for the better.
Sick.
This one, it's a full thought because normally it's just like, you know, like dog saxophone or whatever. And you're like, what is.
Wait, is the dog a saxophone or is the dog playing the saxophone?
Well, I don't know. So.
I'd like to see it.
Anyway, this is the full thought. Do you think when Johnny Mnemonic's mum is mad at him, she calls him Jonathan Mnemonic-than? And then underneath, there's a space, and then I've written, yeah, exclamation point.
When did you even think you'd use that?
I don't know.
I mean, here, I guess.
I guess, yeah. This is what this bit is for. And I'm like, you know what, in the morning, I'm like, still holds up.
That's pretty good.
Jonathan Mnemonic-than. When are you going to get a real job?
My job's putting data in my brain.
Gallivanting about with 80 gigabytes of contraband data in your head. And he's like, Mom, that is a real job. And it's 160 gigabytes of data because I put in a memory doubler. God.
He did put in a memory doubler, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, good times.
Anyway,
good times.
We're going to be doubling we have to double our memories this week, Mason, with all the hot topics coming our way. We are going to talk about Jupiter's Legacy in particular.
Yeah.
I didn't ask. How many did you get through?
All of them.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Yeah. That's good. I should check before the show. So did I.
Nice.
I'm going to talk some Marvel dates and some sort of new trailer stuff. And also Andrew Garfield just talking about Spider-Man.
Oh, that's right.
We've got some other news related to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. characters and WandaVision. There's also a new Superman movie in the works.
Oh, are people happy about that? They should be. People love Superman.
Whoa, Mason. Steady on there.
Oh, yes.
And then a very exciting DC sequel update, which we will get to. Before we get to that, I just want to quickly mention earlier this week or last Monday I was on the podcast All the Small Games. People might know it was one of Andrew Levins's many podcasts and endeavors, where we basically talk about indie games, but it was really just whatever games we were playing at a certain point. But we talk about a bunch of stuff, including the PS Vita, thank goodness,
oh my God.
And like an Untitled Goose Game and a bunch of other stuff that we'd been kind of playing recently, and that. Nice. It was a real good fun time. So it'll be linked below if you do want to check it out. It's a great show in general. If you love video games, or even if you don't love video games.
Do you think this will turn people around if they don't love video games?
This will be the thing.
Wow.
This will be the thing.
Yeah. I find even if people don't love video games, they do love Untitled Goose Game, though. Because it's just a horrible goose.
It's a horrible goose running amok. And we talk about because they did an update where it can be two geese, two nieces to honk at. But yeah, I've been playing with my son. We'll talk about it in the thing.
Yeah, cool.
But, yeah, it's quite nice. Fun.
One more note. You know, we love Easter eggs over here. We love a surprise Easter egg.
Sure.
Well, this one was pointed out to me this week from Luke Bennett on the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. Thank you, Luke. People might know Enid Blyton, the children's author, who died decades ago, but she was famous for a bunch of stuff. She wrote the famous Five books.
Faraway Tree.
All that sort of stuff. Yeah. Secret Seven, even.
Just a bunch of racist stuff that you probably remember.
So the Famous Five books, it's four kids and a dog.
Yep.
They get into adventures, you know, when they're, you know, not at boarding school. It's always like five go to camp or five go to Treasure Island or this sort of stuff. Mm. Anyway, those books were revamped in 2016 as like satirical ones, which I have purchased many of them by an author named Bruno Vincent. They're like five go gluten-free or like five escape from Brexit Island or five get on the property ladder, all these kind of like satirical ones, which I've like bought and given to people, especially the gluten-free one. I love getting into that one. But there's one in particular which I have here. I've got the hard copy. Five go on a strategy away day. So they're not really adults, but they're like going through depressing adult stuff is basically what the new books are all about. And so this one is about they have to go on to do some team building exercises at a venue.
Yeah.
But there is a passage in this one. Let me find it. Where they have to explain where they're explaining why other members of like the people they know aren't there.
Okay.
Hang on. Let me find it.
While he's finding that, there's time codes in the description.
So do you want to skip this whole
thing? Yeah. But I'm intrigued, Mason.
Are you intrigued? You know, a smarter man than me would have put a bookmark in this.
You don't fold your corners?
No, never. Here we go. Page 24.
I'm folding corners all day, mate.
Here we go. Diana Pilkington phoned from Brighton to say she'd got on the wrong train. Pathetic, although I wouldn't put it past her. Typical Pilko, said George. Nick Mason has to take his two-year-old to the doctor. Two-year-old, Julian sputtered. That man is a classic virgin. You can spot it a mile away. And James Sunday claims to have contracted Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. That'll be the least of his problems when I get my hands on him, Julian said. What a turnout. This is what they think of me. He rubbed the bridge of his nose with his eyes scrunched shut.
Brilliant.
And we're like, is that a bloody coincidence? Yeah. It's not.
No, it's not.
So I checked the emails. Mm. This is from 2015. This is from Bruno. It says,
wow.
Dear James, I'm a writer of humour books here in the United Kingdom, and your very funny podcast helped get me through the last deadline I had to meet. As a thank you, I put in a reference to both of you guys in the book, which I was writing. I think you'll find it quite funny. Nick will probably find it very annoying and insulting. I should be getting my first copy in the next few days, and if it's okay, I'd love to send you one. Where could I send it to? Best regards, Bruno. Well,
independently, you've been passing them around.
That's right, yeah. So
incredible isn't that stuff. Fun? I can't believe an email slipped through.
Right?
God damn it.
Mm. Apologies for not getting back to you, Bruno, but thank you. And we eventually...
It's good to be immortalized.
Yeah, you got my 1550.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. And now I can have that, can't I?
There was only one available.
I need to borrow 1550.
All right. On with the show, I guess.
On with the show. So you may have seen this, Mason, but Loki has been moved up from June 11th to the Tuesday, or to the Wednesday beforehand.
I didn't want to know that.
Yeah. Or maybe to the June 9th. Let me check my calendar. I've written one of the dates down. I don't know which one I've done. But essentially, no, it is. It's June 9th, sorry. It's so instead of Marvel shows coming out on a Friday.
Or Wednesday.
They're coming out on a Wednesday.
Oh, I did see the video. Tom Hiddleston went out there and he said, Wednesday's the new Friday.
Which is probably because the Bad Batch is running at the moment.
Okay, right.
Which is, I think that's great. Why not do some midweek Marvel stuff for once in your life, Mason?
Maybe I will.
Maybe you will.
Maybe I refuse. Maybe I'll watch them on Friday anyway.
You probably could, but people will spoil them for you, won't they?
I'm going to buy one of those really expensive Hot Toys Lokis.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give it the finger while I watch Loki on a Friday.
That's rude, don't you think?
I'm pretty rude.
I like it.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that I like, did you see that Marvel trailer about, like, come back to the movies already?
Marvel loves the movies. You'd never guess, but we love the movies.
You better get back here. yeah, so it's Stan Lee talking about courage and movies and whatever, heroes.
Yeah. But more importantly.
More importantly, there's a few reveals.
A few snippets from various upcoming movies, yeah.
So the Eternals in particular, though, because we hadn't really seen any of that.
No.
That people are, there's a Angelina Jolie holding a translucent golden magical sword of some description.
Salma Hayek dressed as a cowgirl person.
A cowgirl person.
That's right.
Yeah.
My thought process there was cowboy, but...
A cowgirl person. You got
there,
didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Maybe she. I don't know if she's wearing a hat, a big cowboy hat in the trailer, but in my mind she is, and that's good.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I also had a bit of a panicked moment yesterday because my nephews were around and they were like, "Hey, did you see that Eternals trailer?" I'm like, "No, that was just a snippet." He goes, and they're like, "No, it came out. There was an Eternals trailer." And I'm like, "Oh God, fucking damn it!" So I thought it had just dropped.
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, I'm gonna have to go do an Eternals trailer breakdown. But thank God they were idiots and I got away with it, mate.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Until that inevitably does happen to me. I survived another day. Yes.
No, what's going to happen there is one day you're going to be checking like a TikTok channel. I'm assuming they have channels on TikTok.
Sure.
And it's going to be your nephews. And they're like, watch this pranker, Uncle James. Watch this. Hey, James, you see that Eternals trailer? And you're like, and you have a heart attack.
That's right. And then do they say I'm so cringe?
Yeah,
because of my heart attack?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, look at this guy.
Look at his weak heart. It's so cringe. Embarrassment.
Is that coming back?
I don't know.
Embarrassment.
There's a few other things in there. They just kind of confirm the Fantastic Four is happening.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Ms. Marvel 2, or Captain Marvel 2.
The Marvels.
The Marvels, which would probably be Monica Rambeau, the Ms. Marvel from the upcoming TV series, and, of course, Brie Larson's Carol Danvers. But they could put in, there's other Captain Marvels they could do.
Yeah.
And Black Panther 2 is called Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
so we don't really know what the storyline there is going to be, but... Just a few more tidbits to be like...
We love movies.
Get back here. Get back in the cinema.
Get back here.
Yeah.
You know what you did. You left the cinemas for even a moment. That's too long. Get back here. These will never go on Disney Plus.
It was also mentioned that Blade has pushed its production date from September of this year to July of next year.
Okay.
That's a long time. So apparently they're still kind of hashing out the story. They want to get it perfect.
Okay.
Perfecto. 100% So it's not going to be embarrassment in the cinema.
It's just a big legal pad and it's just got Frankensteins and they've crossed it out.
We got to crack this.
Creature from the Black Lagoons.
Ooh.
Scratch, scratch, scratch.
Did you see somebody's doing Dracula? Somebody good?
Somebody's doing Dracula. It's Chloe Zhao.
Yeah, that's right.
Nomadland
yeah.
and Eternals.
Eternals, yeah, so there you go. The Dark Universe is back, baby, except they're actually going to do it properly this time. They're going to hire some competent people, it turns out.
Is this the same? Is this Universal or is this...
Probably, but who owns Dracula? Anybody, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I get, because when we think of the classic Universal monsters, your Frankensteins, your creatures from the Black Lagoon,
Brendan Fraser's The Mummy,
your Invisible Man.
Yes,
we think of them as owned by Universal. But do they have? Is it some sort of thing where they have the exclusive rights to movies?
Maybe particular movie versions.
Yeah,
maybe.
Because anybody can write a Dracula story because the concept is out of copyright. But can you put that into the movies?
Yeah, she is doing it for Universal. So there you go. So okay, right. However that works,
yeah,
Universal.
And it's going to be like I think she said something about it's being like a high tech situation.
Dracula's got a phone.
He's got an iPad.
They did that.
Yeah, they already did it. They already did it.
What if Dracula had a phone?
Mm.
What if he knew about the internet?
Yeah.
Probably be on Tinder or whatever. Or Blood Tinder.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
Blinder.
Blinder, yeah. There's been some Elon Musk stuff playing on my computer background. Thank God it was muted because that would have just been going the whole time.
Well, unless it's just in there. Maybe it's on the car.
No, I've muted my computer. Thank goodness.
Okay, James, picture this.
Mm.
Dracula.
Yep.
Opened his mouth. He's got the big Dracula claws.
Yep.
Big Dracula teeth.
Claws.
He's got the big Dracula teeth and they expand like car aerials.
Very good.
One gets stuck.
Dresda.
Yeah.
What's he? Is he biting TV signals? Snatching a legal cable out of the air?
That's what he's doing, yes.
Okay,
yes,
great.
That's right.
Wow, what a monster.
He's getting Cinemax.
Terrific stuff. Andrew Garfield lied this week. I don't know if you saw this.
I did see his big lie.
He was on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast.
And he's like, I don't know what are you talking about.
With werewolves. You started talking about the werewolf game, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that? Where he's like, you know the werewolf game?
It's
Secret Hitler and whatever, whatever we'll call it. Where it's essentially, for those who don't know, where everybody's accusing you of being a certain thing, but you're saying you're not that thing. But also the point of that game is that you're a big liar. Someone's a big liar. But he's saying he's not in the new Spider-Man movie, and he used the phrase or the language, "I never got a call," which could mean it's open to interpret. He's in it.
I
don't know what else to say. Yeah. I don't know that for a fact, but he just
Why would you miss out on that guy? What a slap in the face if you're like, nah. Like, he would have had to
be angry.
You would have had to burn some serious bridges if you were in a previous Spider-Man movie and they don't invite you into this one.
Agreed. Well, he did burn some bridges. Do you remember how he kind of got fired? He didn't turn up to a Sony board meeting or something?
Oh, that's right.
And then they fired him. But they were probably going to do it anyway, I guess. I don't know. There you go. What do we got? We've got a rumor from Giant Freakin' Robot.
Oh, yeah.
Just screaming that out across the city. Marvel apparently wants to bring back characters from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. but treat them as new to the audience. It will essentially be a soft reboot of the property and characters that will act as a tip of the hat for old fans by being completely accessible to anybody who never saw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Didn't that Agent Carter recently come to Marvel Legends or whatever
it is? So it's out of continuity.
Yeah.
But also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the last season, I think, is...
Different timeline.
So they're all technically not in the...
How does that work? Does that mean the whole thing's in another timeline or just that last season?
I think they're just the last season, yeah.
How'd they get in another timeline? Ant-Man Van? Ant-Van. Trans Am, Dracula, Aerial Teeth.
That's it. Yeah, that's the writer's room at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Dracula, vampire, Wi-Fi teeth. Yes. Okay. Let's do it. Why not?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That wouldn't surprise me though. That also, again, this is a rumor, but Jarvis,
Hawker,
real. Butler Hulk. Jarvis is in Endgame.
Yes.
So some of it is in some of the TV stuff,
but that
counts.
Doesn't preclude. There being a human Jarvis in every universe.
That's right, exactly. So
maybe he's the only constant in all the parallel universes.
I wonder what they would bring in, like what properties they would use him in. Because I know there's a big rumor that Daredevil is going to be Spider-Man's lawyer in the new Spider-Man movie.
And when we say rumor, we mean wishful thinking.
And apparently
a million strong wishful thinking.
That's pretty. People are pretty down on that, Mason. Down in a
they're
good
they're down
way,
with it.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not down on it.
No, people like it. Did you hear this about Doctor Strange this week? Do you want me to tell you what it is before you...
before I guess what it is?
Yeah.
That would dampen my guessing somewhat, I think.
That is true.
Because I could still guess, but I'd probably only guess the correct thing.
Okay.
But my guess before you say that, is it that in the producers of WandaVision said,
yep,
we were going to have Doctor Strange in it,
yep,
but then we... changed their minds.
That's right. It was Kevin Feige himself said it would have done like Wanda a disservice and that it kind of would have taken away from her storyline and whatever.
I agree,
but also I think it also might be pandemic related where they didn't get him. Because apparently he agreed to it.
Yeah.
And apparently he was also going to be the one sending the commercials.
Okay,
to
try and
get. But I think it also would have been fine for him to come in at the very end and just be like, I couldn't get through because of all the TV aerials or whatever.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. I can only send through these ads.
Yeah.
I could have sent you a regular message, but I decided not to. I decided to send something cryptic.
Exactly. I think there could have been a way of doing it without stepping on her story.
True, but I think...
I still liked it. I don't really care.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. And I think it... Because there is really no personal relationship between those two characters, between Wanda and Doctor Strange.
Well, that is true, yeah.
I think it would be very akin to, you know, Martian Manhunter showing up at the end of Justice League and being like...
The best scene in the movie,
man. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You can't have two best scenes in a movie in the one year. You know, it'd blow people's minds.
Yeah.
But for him to show up and be like, I'm actually really proud of what you've done here, Wanda, and she'd be like, who are you again?
And proud. Didn't I do terrible things?
Well, I've also done terrible things. I'm living vicariously through you. I can't do terrible things anymore. I crashed my car. I don't remember that. But, yeah.
We're not friends. You wouldn't know that. You probably wouldn't even know that about me. But it was fucking crazy.
I was kind of famous in the world of being a surgeon. I don't know if you follow. Do you get surgeons monthly? Or
yeah, does that even extend to like regular people?
No, you actually can't get it. If you're not a rich surgeon, you can't. It's $1,000 an issue, so you probably couldn't.
Wow.
Probably couldn't afford it, actually. Yeah, but anyway, I just wanted to say good job.
He's definitively proud of her work.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I'm all about that. Now, this is the big news of the week.
Whoa.
Well, actually, there's an even bigger news after.
Whoa.
But this is via The Hollywood Reporter. There's a whole lot of information regarding the new Superman movie that is happening over Warner Brothers. So allow me to kind of – I got to step-by-step this because there's a lot of stuff going on in it. First of all, to catch everybody up, J.J. Abrams made a massive multi-hundred-million-dollar deal to produce stuff and potentially direct things of his choosing through Warner Brothers – This is off the back of obviously rebooting Star Trek and Star Wars and the one about a train monster.
Yeah.
And
now, does that mean that he is getting hundreds of millions of dollars, or is he getting hundreds of millions of dollars for his production company?
That,
to make
I think
it,
that
okay,
thing,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he'd get a lot of that, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, I mean,
I'd
it doesn't seem to be any rules on how much he's going to spend in these movies.
It
so
seems that
maybe
way,
he's
doesn't
just making
it?
Them all on his phone.
Well, I think the Warner Brothers still pay for them.
He's downloaded that app where you can make an explosion.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Mm. Well, look out, Superman. There's missiles coming.
Oh, he's impervious.
Yep, that's right. That's not
why,
a scratch. It's
that's
like
why he doesn't
happened.
Flinch, yeah.
He's used a force field to make it like nothing's happened.
I shouldn't have filmed this in portrait, but...
What can you do, you
know? So, Ta-Nehisi...
Give me more money, I'll film it in landscape.
Ta-Nehisi Coates is writing the story. We've been hearing bits and pieces about this, how Michael B. Jordan might have been involved.
Yeah.
That's apparently not the case. He came out and said that this week. That's the story of a black Superman, and Abrams apparently going to be producing because the article says it would be tone deaf if he then directed it. So Warner Brothers, they are looking to hire somebody either relatively up and coming or a well-known established actor.
So anyone.
Like a Barry Jenkins or a Ryan Coogler, potentially. So they want somebody kind of like that.
Okay.
Potentially. Mm. But the other thing is this has a number of ramifications. For one, they mentioned that every movie and TV show, with the exception of Matt Reeves' The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson, set for release in March, plus the Gotham spinoff and Joker and its planned sequel, will take place in the same universe. So those things are in separate universes.
Okay, yes, yes, yes.
And this is kind of will encompass everything.
So this is going to be in the Man of Steel universe.
Sorry, no, I'll start that again.
Okay.
The Snyder universe.
Yes.
This is not the Snyderverse.
Okay, right.
Which is the new Flash movie, which is all parallel dimension stuff.
Yes.
The only leftovers from that universe is going to be Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and The Flash.
Okay.
Everything else they're kind of throwing out through this Flashpoint movie,
yeah,
it seems.
Right. Uh-huh.
And this Superman movie will exist separate from that, at least for now.
Okay, right.
And the other things they say about it is it looks like the star is going to be relatively unknown, which is what they traditionally do for a Superman casting, really.
Yeah, uh-huh.
If they're going in fresh. And sources apparently told The Hollywood Reporter that they're crafting a Kal-El in the vein of the original Superman comics and will have the protagonist hail from Krypton and come to Earth. While the story is currently being crafted and many details could change, one option under consideration is for the film to be a 20th century period piece.
Interesting.
So, but 20th century means, I'd imagine, anywhere from the 30s, which is his origin, up to the 90s,
yeah,
right? And depending on where you land a black Superman in the US,
yes,
whether he's Clark Kent and what time period kind of informs the story
very much so,
in a big way.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I really don't like about this, and it might not be the thing that a lot of people don't like about this, is that if it's another Clark Kent origin.
Well,
but
go on.
There are things, like I said, depending on what you do with the setting and the time period,
yes,
that can become a whole other thing.
But what you've said there is that it's going to harken back to original Kal-El, which suggests that he is going to arrive on Earth as a full-grown man.
Okay, sure, right.
So,
well, that's
because the modern day version, he arrives as a baby, but in the Golden Age version, he arrives as a man.
What's up?
Exactly, and he's in. Also, the modern day version, he grows up as an Earth child, an Earth person. So he is Clark Kent, and then he becomes Superman. But the original version, he's an alien man who is pretending to be a human, which is why he's like, "Boo! I don't know what I'm tripping on things." Boo!
His hat. What am I? What, look
I'm
at
tripping
this
on my hat.
That's interesting because I think in the direction that I would kind of like them to go is, if you just didn't do a Clark Kent and you didn't with like a Val Zod or a Calvin Ellis or some kind of combination of that and Clark Kent, and you make it the new kind of that cool kind of suit that he wears, silver and the red and all that, and you do it in maybe that direction. And I think also, I know the other part of this is people are very upset because Henry Cavill for the near future won't be Superman.
Yes.
But this to me sounds like it's entirely separate. And you could have both.
You could have them meet up.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he's going to come back because he might not.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's kind of it sucks for him that he never got a chance to get a really solid Superman story. I know people love Man of Steel. I think there's good stuff in it, but for me, it's you know.
But he's got at least another season of The Witcher in him, probably.
He's fine. Don't get me wrong. He's
probably
absolutely
a Man
fine.
From Uncle sequel.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, Armie Hammer.
I was just kidding.
Oh, okay.
They will never make a sequel to that. They will never, ever. Not in a billion years. No, 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 no. No, no, Gems, no, 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 no.
You're probably right.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
No, I liked it, but it was not compelling.
And the other stuff.
And the Albie Hammer's a cannibal, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is really interesting.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
And also it might be, if it is the Golden Age, he might be a less powerful Superman as well.
Jumping stuff. Mm.
Running past locomotives.
Jump, run. Yes. That's what he's up to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe he can do that thing like the old school Superman could do where he could mold his face.
Shake his face about.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So I know it sounds like they're still, I mean, they've probably figured it out at this point, I'd imagine. Because if these rumors are coming out that they're working on the story, I'd imagine they've probably got a pretty solid idea of what they want to do with it.
Mm.
But I would be disappointed if it was just Clark Kent again.
Yeah.
Because we just did it.
It's true.
And there's also a pretty good TV show happening at the moment set in Smallville.
Yeah.
Like, what else can you do with this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. Which is why, even though I'm looking forward to the Batman, I'm kind of like, yeah, early days Batman and whatever, like, we've seen it. And don't get me wrong, it looks genuinely amazing and I'm really looking forward to it, but what else can you do with this?
Different characters. Not Batman or Superman. Well, How about that?
Or different versions of, or do existing characters and do something interesting and different with it. Which I also think the Batman is probably going to end up being anyway.
Yes.
But there you go.
Mm.
Fascinating, I think.
I think it is also fascinating, yeah.
And it could be terrible because who knows?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm of the opinion that Superman movies have not necessarily had a great track record. So,
fair. Especially, yep.
But what if this is the great one? That'd be
could
great.
Could be. That's That'd the be thing. It could be. And again, just if it, I just don't want he lands on the farm and he grows up and whatever. I know.
Sure.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
It's like when almost with like the new Spider-Man or whatever. It's and even if you don't like Tom Holland as much as you like Tobey Maguire, at least we didn't have to sit through all that shit again.
Sure.
Because we did it twice in a row with two different Spider-Men. Yeah. But among that news, I don't know if you heard it, Mason.
Go on.
I just kind of slipped it in there. It was in the when I was talking about the different universes.
Oh, you snuck in some extra news.
Yeah.
You sneak. I won't have it.
So it's going to be in a separate universe for a number of things, including Joker and its planned sequel.
Oh!
Joker 2, Two Jokes, New Jokes, or whatever it's going to end up calling, being called. All right.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
There's also people.
This is interesting because I didn't like it when it came out and I still don't like it. I think it's kind of dumb.
And I think it's kind of done. So and I thought it was fine and it's kind of done.
Okay, but I would see another one.
Yeah.
I just want to see messed up Bruce Wayne and, you know, just because he's.
Yeah, I guess.
He's got a bad father. And like the whole idea behind Batman is his father is kind of the last good man in Gotham despite being a, you know, millionaire, billionaire, whatever.
Yeah.
In this one, he was awful. So what's this Batman going to turn into? Just a monster, probably.
Well, I guess, yeah, exactly. If they even do that.
Yeah.
Or if it's just the Joker he's just joking about.
He's
just joking about again. Still joking. Joking about.
Yeah.
But I guess they must have an idea. I was going to say good idea. They must have an idea.
More Joker stuff.
For me, that movie, and we did a whole episode on it and have talked about it multiple times.
There's that legal pad that's got riddles scratched out,
penguins
scratched out.
More Joker stuff.
Yeah, there it is.
So, yeah, look, okay, but like there was also, because all of these things were kind of bunched together, some people took it as that the Batman movie is set in the same universe as the Joker movie, which could very well end up being, I don't think it is, but you could if you wanted to, I guess. But let's see, let's. New Jokers, two Jokers, or whatever they're doing. I don't know.
Because it made so much money.
Because it made $1 billion. Exactly. You're right. Yeah. All right. Cool.
What 70s/80s? What villain would you like to get the 70s/80s?
So that's the thing. We talked about this.
Yeah.
What if they did a Mr. Freeze, something like that? Just do any of them. Just pick any villain.
It suits line with asbestos.
Yeah.
You know? Can't do that anymore.
Can't do it.
It's the 80s, though. They didn't care.
It's the 80s. He just lived in a fridge.
Yeah.
Like the Joker did in that movie. He just lives in a big fridge. Every now and then he steps out and he's like,
The Legion of Doom headquarters has got a big double fridge in it. Goku and Mr. Freeze live in separate compartments of the fridge.
A couple of double fridge boys, mate. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Is it time to talk about the thing that we watched this
week?
Yes. Jupiter Ascending. This is the first Millerworld production at Netflix.
Yes.
Because...
James, were you doing a joke or not a joke there?
What did I say?
You said Jupiter Ascending.
Jupiter's Ascending.
Nope.
Jupiter is Legacy. I've actually written Jupiter's Ascending here.
That's incorrect what you've said there.
That's a different movie.
See, what I initially assumed there is you were going to do one of your classic fake-outs where you're going to read the summary of the movie Jupiter Ascending with Channing Tatum or whoever is
Mila
in that.
Kunis.
And Mila Kunis. And then
Edward Redmond.
And then I was going to be like, James, but then it turned out.
I wasn't doing
you're
it.
You're operating at 40%.
All the time, every time. it's apologies. I could have led that into a great joke, but I didn't, did I?
No, but I think we definitely salvaged it and it was seamless.
I was listening to the episode we did the other week, Mark and Omi, on Mortal Kombat, and there's a moment where I'm talking about three different characters and I call every one of them Kano.
Yeah, we all let it slide.
And nobody said anything.
Yep.
Why didn't you say something?
Thought it'd be funny.
Did you all look at each other and go...
Yep, we all did.
You sons of bitches, all of you.
And I think you'd done a few in a row and we're just like, let's just let him have this one. We all knew who you were talking about,
cool.
Fine.
Okay, yeah, good stuff. You can correct me, I don't mind, but you don't want to. This one, except when you do, I guess.
Yep.
So what was I going to say? So it's, yeah.
Here's the thing, if you call it Jupiter Ascending again, I'll just let it go.
Yeah, and I will.
Yeah.
And I definitely will. So it's the first Millerworld production because they got purchased by Netflix.
Netflix, yeah.
So... You know, he's worked on previously Kick-Ass, Kingsman.
For people who don't, he's written a bunch of comic books that have been adapted to movies with more or less accuracy and quality.
Yes.
Like it's wildly varying. Like some are quite similar. Like Kick-Ass is very similar. Wanted, almost no correlation at all. Kingsman, pretty close.
Yep.
But it's kind of more sci-fi in the movies.
Yep.
He's now switched from, Millerworld has kind of switched from being a guy who creates comics and then they get adapted to movies and TV shows.
Yep.
And he's more like a guy who comes up with TV and movie concepts and then he's allowed to do a comic book if he wants.
Exactly.
But he's got a bunch of stuff sort of still in the tank that are going to be turned into things.
So many.
And this is.
So many things down the line. We've got Kano. We've got Kano's coming in after that.
Kano, nice.
I think they're doing another Kano after
Whoa.
That as well. Yeah, so what did you think about this, or what did you think the story was?
Oh, no. Okay, so
It's on Netflix as well if you haven't seen it. We're going to do non-spoilers and then some spoilers.
Yeah. And I think probably we might spoil a little bit of the comic book in spoilers, maybe.
Yes. Also, I don't know anybody's name in this.
Okay, that's quite all right. We can refer to them as the actors' names.
Or Kano.
The colours of their costumes. Kano, you know.
Yeah.
So, basically, the premise is...
Yep.
The very short version is that in the 1930s, a group of six people are drawn to a mysterious island.
Yep.
And then they return from that island after some mysterious circumstances. They return with superpowers. They become the world's first six superheroes.
Yeah.
And then in the modern era, they've been doing superhero stuff for decades.
They've all grown kids now.
The world has changed, and how they deal with that.
Badly.
And it's interesting because in the comic book,
yeah,
the moments on the island are very brief.
Is a comic dedicated to it, but I started it and went, I'm not really into this.
Jupiter Circle?
Yep, or Ascending. And Jupiter's Kano. But yeah, so that was the part of the narrative that I wasn't really that familiar with.
Yeah, so the comic book basically starts with a couple of pages where the characters are like, "Boy, it's the 1930s, and you've had this dream. You want to go to an island, and I think you're off your rocker. But I'm going to Ballywell join you." They're not British, but they're like, "We're going to go to the island," and they go to the island, and it just cuts to the modern day, and they're superheroes basically. And then in like Jupiter's Circle, there's a little bit more. There's a few more pages of that.
Yeah,
but it's like 5% of the narrative.
Yeah,
and this. The journey to the island and the reasons for them going to the island and everything that happened before the island, that's half this series. This series alternates between the modern day and the 30s and pretty interesting.
Initially for me with the 30s stuff, I was like, I wish there was kind of less of this.
Okay.
Or they did one episode of it.
Right.
Just took one of these eight and went, we'll just do the island stuff.
Yeah, right.
But then by the end, I think that was the storyline that I actually preferred of the two.
Yeah, right.
Because the other storyline kind of didn't get to where the comic immediately goes to.
Almost immediately, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I think maybe we've mentioned this in the past. I think that one of the reasons that Mark Millar does get to make so much stuff in Hollywood is he seems to be not precious at all about what it's turned into.
Yeah.
Like the idea of Wanted was about supervillains. And in the movie, it's just about like assassins
and a loom that tells them who they're going to shoot.
A loom of destiny.
Yeah.
Like it seems people are just like, yeah, he just, you know, he licenses it out and let people do what he wants.
Yeah.
And changes have been made in this, like some in small ways, some in big ways, like there is so much more stuff in the past.
Yes.
But yeah, this is the characters have spent their lives living. Their superhero lives anyway, living by a code that Sheldon, who's played by Josh Duhamel, sort of has set up. It's like, we don't kill, we don't interfere with world affairs, we don't do all this. We just save lives and stop crime and do good.
And we kiss each other.
And that's one of the reasons. They've sort of, I think, kind of cannily been like, okay, why is it that this world isn't completely different from our world?
Yeah.
And they've gone, okay, well, it's because they've decided not to intervene in anything.
Yeah.
They didn't intervene in World War II. They didn't intervene in the Vietnam War or Iraq or anything like that.
Well, they somewhat intervened in World War II.
Yeah. But they're like, okay, we're
just stop trains that are crashing.
We'd stop trains that are crashing. We don't do anything like that. And half of the people in this group are like, okay, that's good, and this is how the world should work and how we should operate. But there are other people who are like, we have all these powers, why don't we change the world?
Yes. Kind of thing. And also it's leaning towards the younger people because they're a descendants of superheroes. And when they get the powers from the island, maybe a bunch of people got irradiated to a lesser extent.
It's never really explained in the comic books or in this.
Yeah.
I think it might be a case of this just is a superhero universe
in
the sense that some people fall into toxic waste and sometimes there's aliens and sometimes there's, you know, spirits or what have you, and it's all just super science and it's all just a combination of things. But I think there is a scene, I don't think this is really a spoiler, but I think there, when they gain their powers on the island, there's a sort of a burst of radiation and it goes onto the boat.
That's what I
that's waiting for them, and you see it sort of irradiate the...
Yeah, because everybody else who's not like the core six... Or the children of have like lesser powers.
Yes.
And there's some exceptions, like the one supervillain in particular that, you know, we'll we'll get to. A lot of the time I was like, I fucking hate Josh Duhamel's hair.
Really?
Just God, cut it. I hate it. Just cut your fucking hair, mate.
They're very accurate to the comic books.
He would have looked so slick, don't you reckon? With a slick grey haircut.
Yeah, that's true.
I just needed somebody to look to, you know what I mean?
But they're very comic accurate, and I especially like the very dramatic distinction between like the characters as they existed in the 30s,
yeah,
like all clean cut and tweedy little mustaches.
Yeah.
And then the modern day, they're just like, they're old and they've let it all go, which I think is fun.
Yeah, totally. Well, some more than others, but yeah. But and it seems like relatively recently as well, because you see Josh Duhamel when his kids are young and he's not quite there. Mm. Do you know what I mean? He's kind of on his way there. I did like the superhero suits designs. They're very like garish and in a good way. I think I saw that somebody who designed shoes for Nike or something worked on these or something.
And you can definitely see
that in a lot of the costumes, because I think they're pretty terrific. It's pretty light on action as well, isn't it? I guess because it's, you know, you got to keep your budget
kind
of in check.
How did you feel about the action?
It was the first, there's a first battle with the pretty big kind of supervillain.
Uh-huh.
And there were shots in that which I really liked. There's like a pretty good like jet boot kind of uppercut.
Uh-huh, yeah,
and
yeah.
There's other bits that felt a bit like Power Rangers, but
yeah,
you know what I mean? But I guess it's kind of on par with The Boys or something to that.
Yeah.
You know,
uh-huh.
In that.
I think they kind of, especially for the TV series, they want to keep it more kind of golden age classic superhero. Mm. Like it's all about a big punch or a heat vision or something like that. Because in the comic books, it's kind of sort of,
pretty gory. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gory, but it's also kind of like their powers are sort of quite vaguely defined to the point where they can just sort of do, like they all have core abilities and they all have a special ability. But it also seems like they can kind of do whatever they like they can alter reality and kind of do whatever they need. Like, you know, a character could just suddenly bring lightning bolts down out of the sky or whatever. Mm. And it's like, can you do that? Do you have telekinesis? What's your deal? Can you read minds, force fields? Can you turn invisible?
One of them got a stick. Some of them have, I guess they must have slightly different things. They'd have to, right?
They all do, yeah. So the six all have like core strength, flight, durability, and then they all have like...
One's got laser vision, one's got techno stuff.
Yes.
Techno beats.
Yes, correct,
just continuous techno beats. Yeah, like mind control and shit like that. But what did you think of this in general though? Like, did you like it?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I
thought it was a little stretched, especially early on.
Right, yeah. I feel like maybe the novelty of the constantly going back and forth between time periods wore me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Also because with I think maybe one exception, everybody on the island in the past is still alive in the present.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's really no
There's something
and obviously it's more for developing character. So it's not necessarily a flaw, but just the idea that so much of this is devoted to all this dangerous, you know, island in the past, what's going on with that? And we all know that they're fine later. Well, then it sort of dissolves this dramatic tension of half the show.
That's fair enough. You're right. And there's a few people introduced. I thought the last person to the island was going to be the guy with the tweedly mustache who turns up and does techno path stuff. I liked that guy. It was kind of briefly introduced. It was in the autopsy and he like took apart
the
device or whatever. I'm like, who's this guy? He looks like a 1930s guy. Nah, he's just a separate guy. Might have known somebody near that boat or whatever.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I also found it equally...
It was insufferable, I found.
Oh, that's what I liked about it. I'm like, this guy sucks. But which I also found with the Josh Duhamel's character, I found him really infuriating because he's kind of an idiot. He's kind of the worst, like a very simple view of things. We'll do spoilers, I guess.
I think we can do a little bit without spoilers.
Sure, okay.
But I think he's not dumb. I don't think, but he was the one who developed this code, if we don't kill him, we don't do this sort of stuff. And, you know, it's a system that he's wearing out because, you know, all these innocent people are dying. And if you just killed one of these villains, it wouldn't, you know, that wouldn't be a problem anymore. But also like he's relied on this so long that he starts out a little more loosey-goosey, but he's kind of like, he's become sort of really ironclad with these rules to the point where he's like,
the opposite of his hair. Yeah,
don't swear in my house kind of thing, kind of vibe. Yeah, and I think he's realized he's kind of hamstrung by this code, but he can't change it now because it's too late.
I thought it was also interesting that his wife, Leslie Bibb, kind of started off as this free will and kind of Lois Lane reporter type. But by the end, she'd just kind of come fully in line with his core values. And then she's like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, it's like two completely different people when you're cutting back and forth between that character. And I liked that they came around to that.
Yeah.
And she was like, I've just been living by this thing just because you said it. And I don't really believe it anymore way that, you know, you do. And also, at his core, he doesn't really believe it. It's kind of proven.
Yeah, I feel like these aren't spoilers just because they're not punching related.
Let's do spoilers.
I'm going to say best show ever. I had a good time.
I think if you're expecting like The Boys, it's different than that.
Yeah.
It's not really like anything currently. Like, it's got shades of a bunch of stuff, but it's not really like. I don't know.
I mean, it is kind of like Invincible.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean at its, you know, on a reality level, it's a sort of an indie comic that been turned into a series.
Yeah.
You know, it's superheroes that meet kind of, you know, self-aware real world. You know.
But I feel like if you liked Invincible for the blood and the guts and the self-awareness,
this is kind of more corny, I think, in a lot of ways, and kind of cheesy. But I think it's good. And it says, you know, I like the idea that it's kind of, you know, it's these very ideal characters sort of butting heads with the real world and real America and, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, they mentioned some stuff about Nazis and, you know, being in like literal Nazis in the streets or whatever, which I thought was like, well, it's not bold, but just to like.
Sure, yeah.
When you openly kind of acknowledge or mention things like that, people get real uppity and be like, well, actually the real Nazis are, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to get into it.
Cause actually, the real Nazis are the ones that are fighting against the Nazis.
We'll get messages. But,
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. But yeah, so it kind of a lot of this is built around that his son, the Utopian, kills a supervillain who's about to kind of kill everybody.
Yeah, like, go antimatter explosion.
And there's kind of there's a discussion and argument around like whether that was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I found that Josh Duhamel character interesting, where it's like, to me, that was such a clear cut. Yeah, that's fine.
And there's even, that's the thing, because there's even a conversation with Sheldon, who is Josh Duhamel's character, as with his therapist, who is a super criminal in jail.
I liked that touch.
Where the psychologist is just like, you know, cops can shoot people in self defense, and you know soldiers can do it.
Yeah,
if it's a life or death situation, why is it different from you guys?
Mm.
And he's like, well, I'm not. That's not us though. That's we're a completely different class of
which I like. I understand, and I think is a very admirable goal in this fictional scenario.
Yes. Uh huh.
Cops shouldn't shoot people, I think. But hey, but then in like a scenario like this,
yeah.
Again, a fictional scenario.
Seemed pretty clear cut, honestly.
And he was ended up being a clone and whatever. Yeah, anyway, uh-huh. So but yeah, I honestly thought because the bigger twist of this, which we'll talk to, I thought they changed the villain from the comics.
Yeah,
because they wait till the very end, and the villain who is revealed to be the villain does a lot of non-villainous, confused stuff nobody's around.
Yeah, I think potentially, and again, this would be my biggest flaw with this, or my biggest criticism with this show, is that I think they maybe had designs on changing it. Mm. Maybe because the Jupiter's Circle and Jupiter's Legacy, it's on a hiatus, but it'll be back like next month, and it's going to be building on the show and maybe some new stuff or whatever.
Sure.
I think maybe they got some notes from Mark Miller about where that's going to go. They thought about changing it, but they were like, well, we should make it different.
Yeah.
But then they didn't. So for people, so the biggest in the comic books, the biggest kind of difference of opinion is Sheldon, the Utopian, who wants to uphold the code and he wants, you know, to not interfere. And then his brother Walter, Brainwave, who has like his thing is he has various telepathic mental powers and etc. He wants to, you know, be more active in changing the world, not only in terms of like war and that sort of stuff, but like economics feeding the hungry and that's social programs and all this stuff.
Yeah.
He's like, I've got all these ideas.
Yeah.
We should go and you know.
I could just do it,
yeah. And no one could stop me.
And they hint in that early on in the show because he's like, I think there's an economic crash coming and I'm going to protect
back
the company
in the 30s,
and its workers. And I'm like, oh, they're doing the thing.
Yep.
And then, you know, because he's a guy, he's got all the ideas and he can kind of sort of see the future, or thinks he can at the very least.
Yes.
But then they go a completely different direction for a time.
Yes.
But sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, but in the comic books, quite early on, it's revealed that there's going to be a coup because Walter is just like, well, we're going to have to kill Sheldon and his wife, and I'm going to get Brandon, his son, on board with me.
Yep.
And then we're gonna do this by force kind of thing. And they do.
Yeah. And they really early on, and they bring in this like new world order.
Yeah.
And then his daughter goes underground, which
Sheldon's daughter,
which we will see in subsequent series.
Who is the troubled teen, I guess.
Well, they both kind of are, but he's not in the comic. The son isn't really aspiring to be a superhero.
He just kind of
hates his dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't like, you know, doesn't
want
to live out.
So I wonder if we're going to get that or if we're going
to
get
it. Yeah.
But so in this, like you were saying, it's revealed in this, initially we're supposed to believe that the villain behind all of this is Sky Fox, who's one of the original six. He had a falling out with the other five. He's disappeared. He became a terrorist of sorts.
He's Matt Lanter, who's Anakin Skywalker in The Clone Wars.
Oh, the voiceover. Yeah, okay,
that's cool, yeah.
We're supposed to believe that it's him and he's built this sort of dangerous clone and he's up to all this dangerous stuff.
Yeah.
But then it's revealed at the end, it's Walter, it's the Utopian's brother.
Yes.
And he has built this clone and he has engineered all this to cause a rift between the family members and cause a rift between the heroes and the public and all this sort of stuff.
He's probably released, like, stepping crime up. It's probably him doing it.
Yeah.
Why things are getting kind of out of hand.
But as you said, at the scene right at the start where they fight the big villain, whose name I cannot recall for $1 million.
Atomic Chest.
There we go, yeah. He goes into Dr. Atomic's chest mind and he's like, hey, I'm distracting you in your mind with my mind powers while everybody else beats you up.
Yeah.
But at that point, nobody else can see in his mind.
Yeah.
If he created this guy, what's he doing?
I think he was doing it just in case.
Practice?
I think he was he didn't break character.
Yeah, because,
that's how I took
it. Because Walter has a daughter who has his powers. She's an assassin. She can also read minds. And later on, it makes sense that he would pretend that that he's not in on it. Even though she figures it out. But earlier,
I guess he also thought that guy might not have been killed. They might have captured him and read his mind and then they've got that information.
Oh, okay,
so
right.
That might have been, I just came to that conclusion.
I bet,
But it seemed like he would also do it just when he's by himself or whatever. It seemed there were moments
just a bit of practice.
Bit of practice, mate.
All right, yeah.
Bit of practice. There was, it was interesting that, is it Sky Fox, the character who splits for them? The guy who, the Matt Lanter character?
That's Sky Fox, yeah.
Yeah. So he's not, the older version is technically, he's not in this at all. Like he's just an imaginary man.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether he's got him captured somewhere and is using him to create technology and things like that. And
maybe, because this brainwave guy whose, you know, apparent ability is mental powers.
Yeah.
He can create a clone.
Yep.
But again, I guess maybe it's a case of like, can you just talk to another supervillain and they have
That's what I figured.
Abilities, you know, they can do that.
Something to that extent. Yeah, but one of the things that they did change, which I thought was a change for the worse.
Go on.
Was that his son, Sky Fox's son,
Hutch,
has a staff, like a baton.
Yes.
And it's a teleporting stick.
Yes.
And he can go anywhere in the world. In the comic, his father makes that. And it's basically all of his father's powers in a staff. And as long as he's got that, he can use it like as a weapon. He can teleport with it. It does a bunch of different stuff. Where here, it's another guy from the island, but he's got it now, maybe?
No. So,
or is that a copy?
You are misremembering. I see what you're saying.
Am I?
Yeah, so in the comic books, Blue Bolt, his special ability is he has this staff and it can enable him to teleport anywhere.
Yeah.
But when Hutch meets his father.
Yeah.
He tells Sky Fox that actually Blue Bolt's his favorite superhero.
Ah.
So Sky Fox builds him a staff that can do everything that Blue Bolt can.
I didn't know that. Okay,
so and he basically says, I built you this as a kid. And he says, but I'm giving it to your mother. And when you become old enough, she'll let you have it and you can use it, but it's too dangerous for you right now.
Oh, okay. I did just remember that. Okay. So that still might be the case then.
But that is odd that Sky Fox could just be like, I'll just build you that guy's powers. Yeah. You want, and he does it out of a flashlight.
He's exactly. Like, he just does it and it's indestructible, I guess.
Yeah, because he has...
Okay, so that's not really a change then.
No.
Or probably won't be.
Although in this version, Hutch, who is, again, the Sky Fox we don't see, is his son.
Yeah.
He is a sort of technological genius.
Yes.
In a way, in the comic books, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
So it seems as if even though Hutch didn't gain any of his father's powers, he's gotten something.
Yeah.
He's gotten some, because Sky Fox's abilities, again, are just sort of, he seems to have some sort of ability to build whatever he wants. Mm. That's his power. Like he can build a ray gun.
Yeah.
Or like a, he's like a hologram. Yeah, he's a technopath. Yeah. So it seems like even though maybe Hutch hasn't had any powers, he maybe has some sort of intuitive thing.
That would make sense.
And he seems to be able to at least tinker with the cosmic baton thing.
I liked how there was a magic van.
I like the magic van also, yeah. I like that Australian guy.
It was an Australian guy.
Like, hey, I'm bloody...
What am I doing here?
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
Did I get here?
What am I doing here?
Did I get a temporary visa and skip out on it? Is that how I got here? I don't know.
So Hutch is the son, right? Again, I don't really remember.
Hutch, son, big hair.
Yeah, big hair. Got it. Yeah. So he's also, what I liked about him is he's doing kind of petty crime. Mm-hmm. His father's this world-renowned criminal who may have tried to kidnap the president or something.
Yep.
Or allegedly. In the comic, he turns up again and he's just like, he's not really a bad guy. He just kind of diverted from their way of thinking.
Yeah, he's like a superhero hippie in a way.
And when he turns up, like, he's not a bad dad. He's just kind of been in hiding because he thought it was for the best kind of thing. So I wonder how they're going to, in what way they're going to bring him back in. But I liked how, what was I going to say? Can I remember?
Well, you think about that. But in the meantime, I was going to say that in the second series of Jupiter's Circle, there's a time jump. It's like 5 years, even more, maybe 7 years into the future. So Chloe and Hutch have a kid who does have superpowers, who is like super powerful and a super genius.
Mm.
I wonder if they're going to do that.
I would like if they did.
Yeah.
I think they should. That probably won't be until at least season 3.
Yes.
Unless they time jump in 2, but I don't probably...
Unless they cancel it after this.
I don't think they will. I think this seems to be doing...
All right, numbers.
Good enough. Okay. I don't know, but people seem to be liking it.
But also, I think you could probably squeeze the remaining storyline, I think, into 2 seasons.
You could do all this in one.
Yeah.
If honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand why they didn't, but you definitely could.
There's also kind of, like I mentioned, there's a sort of in-between call series called Jupiter's Circle, which is sort of set in the 50s and the 60s.
I don't think I've read that one.
So it sort of fills in some of the backstory.
Okay.
But it's probably not necessary.
Yeah.
So... You know,
they'd just have different haircuts or wigs, wouldn't they?
They would have different haircuts and wigs, yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, I think they're
groovy bell bottoms.
I think they're really kind of gearing up for this kind of Ned Stark moment, you know, like from the comics kind of.
Yeah, because they just beat him to death.
Yeah.
But they beat Samson, Sheldon to death.
Yeah.
And like stab his wife to death.
Yeah, put Trapper in a mind prison and so she thinks she's fighting, but she's just getting stabbed.
But I also wonder, like, because, again, like I am enjoying Josh Duhamel and Leslie Bibb as the sort of this superhero, you know, couple.
Mm, yeah.
Would they kill them in season 2? Or is it a case of like, because again, you know, you can really do anything you want with you know, characters on the printed page, but maybe these two have, you know, 3-season contracts or something like that. So they will have to kind of change it. Or maybe they were just like, here's the story and you get killed in season 2 and they go, okay, well, that's, you know, if that's the story, that's the story. We don't know.
And he could come back for multiple flashbacks and whatever. They wouldn't really
Groovy bell-bottoms.
Groovy bell-bottoms. But I think
It's me, Groovy bell-bottoms.
I think they ended with the son and the father, Brandon and his father, being closer than ever than they were at the start.
Ah, so he is going to die.
Well, I thought that was interesting that they went that way and didn't have him further apart where he wasn't going to, because there's a moment, if you're in spoilers and you're just like, whatever, where there's a supervillain who's going to kill Brandon and he's like, you need to like laser my neck to kill me or I'm going to kill this guy.
It's the real atomic heart guy.
You got to break your code or I'm going to kill him. And he, you see for a second, he goes to do it.
Yes.
Maybe it would have been interesting if he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And that would have driven that wedge kind of between them. But I still thought it was interesting, the fact that he was willing to do it. I thought that was also interesting.
Okay, but here's the thing that I've just thought of. What if they added that at the last minute?
Oh, yeah.
Because you could very easily, every part of that scene could also be him not using his laser vision.
Yeah, totally.
Like, not even firing it up, and then he gets rescued by the...
And then there's a bit where he's like, yeah, thanks, Dad.
Because there is a moment where Sheldon does say to his son, you know, I wouldn't have let you die. Mm. And the son's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So it could have been just he wasn't going to do it. And yeah. They've just been like, no, we want to add a little bit more hope, so we'll draw the lasers.
It could have
in.
Been, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good point. What I was going to say about that guy with the staff.
Yes.
Here we go. I've remembered.
Blue Bolt.
But I've forgotten for a second. Oh, here we go. So he's doing petty crime stuff, but he could be doing more. Like, there's that nuclear mob boss who's like melting people in a toilet cubicle.
Right, yes.
And he's this
big man.
He's this terrifying guy, and he's seemingly scared of this guy, but when he's pushed into a corner.
Yeah.
It's just not even, it's not a problem. Like, yes. He was never worried about it. He didn't, you know, he's not really concerned about the wealth, or he's just kind of just doing whatever, because he kills him in an instant by putting the tube in his heart.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And he's just like not fussed by it. So I just found it interesting that he could do all these things and be all these things, but he's just kind of feigning ineptness.
Yeah.
Just because it's easier, I guess.
Yeah. They did pack in a lot of, like, superheroes and villains. And
did a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff in there.
Magic man in this show.
They're also, like, 40-minute episodes, not even. So
yeah,
really,
that's
really
true.
Squeezed a lot in there.
Unless you have anything else to say, I've got one question for you.
Okay, go on.
What did you think of those 1920s, 1930s suits?
Pretty, I mean, period accurate. Yeah.
But beyond that, I saw some good textures.
There were some good
textures. Some thick fabrics.
I do have, like, the exact sweater one guy has.
Wow.
Like, I think they bought it from the same place I bought it from.
Like a Savers?
No, like a company that makes weird retro clothes.
Cool.
Look, they're very accurate. I do question whether some of them would be wearing, you know, soft collars in a kind of financial context.
Yeah.
They'd be wearing like a stiff celluloid collar.
I thought some of their expedition clothes were a little bit ridiculous.
Oh, yes, yes.
So here's a question though. Yes. This is unclothes related, but when they go to the island,
yes,
I haven't read the prequel comic.
Yep.
Was it this whole test from where that a bunch of other people had failed?
It's not really explained. So
yeah,
but,
that's what.
But,
like, is it aliens or what is it?
Well, it's definitely aliens.
Yeah,
so I think it might be Jupiter's Legacy 2. So it's the second season, but it's only like a couple of pages. The thing happens where they go through a doorway and they end up in a doorway, but they're in space, you know, that bit.
Yeah.
But it isn't like we have to pass the test and we all have to, you know, believe in ourselves and leave our troubles behind and pack up your troubles in your old kit
Hakuna
bag.
Hakuna Matata
and Kumbaya and all that sort of stuff. They just go through a door and then they're in space. And instead of there being like the visions of the people they wish, you know, they could see again and the glowing lights or whatever, there's just aliens there.
Okay.
They're like little grey men and they're in sort of like white bishop outfits.
Hello.
And they're like, hello. And then they're like, hey, we're going to give you superpowers. And it's never, they don't really say why.
Yeah.
It's really up to the heroes themselves to interpret why it is. But in the second season where we see Chloe and Hutch's son, who's super smart, he has a conversation with Sky Fox when they meet again. And they're like, what? They have a conversation about why they think it happened. And they sort of both seem to come to the conclusion that the aliens want to enhance humanity, see if humanity can breed with the aliens and make some sort of super race.
Right, okay.
Like, maybe that's the working theory.
Sure.
Although it hasn't happened yet. Although maybe it'll happen in the new series.
Your Jupiter stuff.
Yes.
More Jupiters. Double dupe.
Cool.
Anyway, no, I liked it.
Me too.
And more.
Yeah. I would like to see other people's opinions of it. I imagine for a variety of reasons there's probably people hate elements of it in the world.
Like, it wasn't my favourite thing.
Uh-huh, sure.
But it was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to it and it was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was definitely.
And I'm going to read the comics again.
Yeah, I think it probably, for me, it probably would have benefited maybe one episode a week.
Okay, sure.
I think I probably would have preferred it like that. Again, I think part of the same, you know, the sameness I felt of like, oh, okay, we're back in the past. Okay, we're back in the modern day, that sort of thing. That felt to me a little bit exhausting, but I think it's probably because I watched 8 in a row.
Yeah.
And if I watched one a week, I reckon it'd be like, oh, they're back in the past. It's very exciting. I've got that jumper.
Absolutely. Can you imagine if the dad from that 70s show was the one who got the superpowers? My goodness.
Right?
Red,
that's right.
And the
Clarence Boddicker from RoboCop.
Yeah, I was going to say Red Foreman. I was going to call him Red Fox, but it's Red Foreman, isn't it? There you go. Speaking of, Mila Kunis was also in Jupiter's Ascending.
That's
Legacy.
True, yeah.
Ascending. Mm-hmm. We're going up.
Wow.
Eddie Redmayne's screaming at us. The movie. All right. Yeah, like Mason said, love to hear your thoughts. But let's go do a different segment of the show, Mason.
Oh, what we're reading.
But what is it?
It's what we're reading.
I can never remember what it is.
What we're reading.
Yeah.
What are we going to read?
All right, I'll put in the theme song.
Good.
You just got to keep it down, all right?
Okay.
All right, here we go. I'm doing the theme. What are we Westworld today?
Oh, you've mixed it up.
Got to. You got to keep it fresh.
Are you keeping it fresher? Because I can't hear it usually. So I don't know what you're doing. I don't know at what point you're putting the word Westworld in. You might be putting it at the start at this point. I don't know.
That's what I'm about.
You might not be playing it at all.
It's true. It could just be screaming incoherently. Yeah. What are you Westworlding?
Well,
he's reading.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but there is a fresh new comic book character called Batman. And I've been reading some okay. Batman comics.
What's he up to?
Yeah, well, all kinds of stuff. This is by I went back like a year or so, and I've started reading the Batman comics from James Tynion IV, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Probably not how you pronounce his last name. And Ricardo Lopez Ortiz and a couple of other different artists. And it's just good old Batman storytelling. There's just been some cool events. There was the Joker War. Batman lost all his money. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Where'd he put it? In a bin?
He put it in a bin, and then the binman took it away. And he's like, oh, no, my billions of dollars.
I should have put it in a bank.
Right?
I should have used a digital currency.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch, you know, there's Punchline, who's like the Joker's new henchwoman in the style of Harley
Quinn.
I've
read some of that, yeah.
There is a new Batman's got a new bestie. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Who's his bestie?
Ghostmaker. I'll show you the costume. So there's a little bit of a retcon that's been.
Is that a guy who kills people?
He does kill people
because he's the Ghostmaker.
Yeah. But there's been a retcon in the DC universe that when Batman was training, he had a best pal who was training sort of with him, but also he was like a training rival.
Yeah.
Who like. They both had they were best friends, but they also had differing opinions of like
killing
crime
people.
Fighting, killing people and crime fighting. Whereas like you know, Batman's like you've got to do it to make things right, and Ghostmaker's just like now you wipe out all crime just as a thing to do.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
To prove you're the best, you go into a city and you just annihilate everybody.
Yeah, you
in
kill
it
everybody there. Sure.
And so they parting of the ways, but now Ghostmaker's back because the. They established a rule that they would never work in the same city together. But Ghostmaker's like, you've failed Gotham City because of all this crime all the time forever.
You're bad at this. I'm coming here. I'm coming to get you.
So he's bad. This is a Ghostmaker costume.
That's pretty sick.
Sick, right?
He's got two sword.
He's got two sword. And big pant. Look how low his pant is.
Big pant, two sword. Yeah.
Right. But it's really good. And the art's incredible. I think I mentioned one of the artists. There's probably another one that I do not have here. Jorge Jimenez, two artists, and it's just James. When Bob Kane and Bob Kane alone created Batman back in the 40s or whatever,
I remember he told us all about it.
He could not have imagined how good this art is.
Really,
it's just
would
phenomenal.
It kill him?
Yeah, it would kill him. It would definitely kill him.
My goodness.
But again, there's the Joker War storyline, so you see like a bunch of you know classic villains and all the Batman like sidekicks and stuff. Just in there and just looking tremendous.
All right, cool. Yeah. So where would I start?
I would probably start at like Batman, like.
Let me punch this into my computron.
I reckon like Batman, like 85 or something.
Okay, cool.
We're up to like 107 or 108.
Because I kind of stopped in the middle.
Yeah.
Did Tom King do it for a little bit?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. All right, sick.
I don't know what the exact jumping on point is, but you'll find it.
So it was the start of his particular run, though, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll figure it out. Great.
Have you been reading?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Star Wars happened last week.
Oh, the Bad Batch.
May the 4th or whatever, yeah. Huh. And so they released two episodes of Bad Batch. I've only watched the first one.
Yeah.
It was like a 50-minute something, maybe a bit longer, episode where it picks up right after or around the time of Order 66 and then from then. So all the existing clones are kind of being stormtrooperized. And the Bad Batch are separate because they don't have that kind of programming in them.
Oh.
So it's interesting about how the galaxy then kind of shifts. So it's a couple of Bad Batch boys and one girl, and they're doing little adventures and stuff. And again, I've only seen one. Apparently, the second one's a bit more kind of low key. But I thought it was very interesting, and it reintroduced some existing characters, and I'm like, oh, this person's in. Okay, that's interesting.
Oh, Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker.
None of those. But,
baby Luke Skywalker, cuter than ever.
They did some
cute little bowl cut. Yeah. Ooh.
They did a little bit of retconning as well, which some people aren't rapt about.
Well, give me one specifically.
Here's a spoiler. Okay, I'm going to tell you. So it starts off in the episode where it's Order 66, but Kanan Jarrus is there. Kanan Jarrus being the Jedi who shows up in Star Wars Rebels.
Okay.
You've seen some of this, I assume.
Okay, what the one I'm thinking of, didn't we watched one, I think.
Rebels? I don't think
it
did Rebels.
The thing we watched was they're all in a place.
Yep.
And Ahsoka Tano is there.
Yes.
Animated Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah.
And then all the chips go off.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to fight all these people. And then she unchips one person and then they escape.
Yeah.
Was that Clone Wars?
That's Clone Wars.
So this is after this. That's set immediately.
After.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so Kanan Jarrus had a prequel. He's the Freddie Prinze Jr. Jedi from Rebels.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the soul patch.
Yeah.
You've seen him.
Yeah. Soul patch Dan. So,
we've done Rebels episodes.
Yeah, we have. I had a funny name for him that I've forgotten.
What episodes did we do? We did the Darth Vader one or something?
It was Sugar Ray something.
Sugar Ray Soul Patch.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
So you get to see his Order 66. But he had a comic.
Eggs Over Easy.
Yeah.
Order 66.
he had a prequel comic and it's different. It's slightly different.
Right.
There's different people there. His master was there, but she's got a different colour lightsaber.
I thought all the new comics were canon again.
Well, that's what people are kind of upset about.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay. Interesting.
So there you go.
So you were just saying different colour lightsaber. Is that it?
No, there's different people there. It's the same planet, but it plays out differently.
Okay.
Because
colour lightsaber would be there.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Because the Bad Batch boys are there. But it's interesting because the way they made it, you can't fix it. Like, they didn't do it vague enough where they could have been there and it works.
Okay.
It doesn't. It clashes. It completely clashes.
Oh, interesting.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't bother me at all.
Well, I feel isn't the whole concept of, like, a lot of, you know, the Star Wars legend stuff is maybe it's a story people told around a campfire or something, or a hologram campfire. a holocampfire.
Just a burnt-out droid.
Yeah, right? A burnt-out droid like a burning bin. So you could be like, well, this person said these people were here and this person said the other people were here, so...
Yeah, what a thrilling tale.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people think they were there, but some people... And some people think the lightsaber was this colour, but it was actually a different colour.
But I think that's interesting that it's... Do you think there is a plot reason or a merchandising reason that they changed it, or just somebody forgot?
The mandate from Lucasfilm when they got rid of Legends was that everything is one canon. Right? Yeah.
So all the comics, all the TV series, everything. Yeah.
There's been a couple of times where the books have been came out and they're slightly different than the movies, but the movies always trump the books, and that's because the books based on the movies come out before, and they, you know what I mean? They're based on old scripts and whatever.
Yeah.
There's a few moments that have changed, but this is kind of, there's been a few like more along the way, like moments like this where they're just different.
Huh.
Yeah. And people are mad because it's like you threw out a bunch of stuff and yet because you couldn't match it up and yet you're not matching up this new stuff.
Huh.
Again, I don't care.
Sure.
But that's just the situation.
But I can see how some people would be very mad and would make long videos about it.
Yes. And how Ray ruined Star Wars and whatever.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Should we do the next thing?
What's your full name? Ray the Bad Batch. Thebed Batch. It's me, Ray Thebed Batch.
Should we do the next segment
of
the show?
Yes, let's do letters.
But what could it be called?
Letters, letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
You know they're here right now, we're going to do letters.
If you thought we were going to do letters, you goddamn right we are.
You better believe
it. If you do want to reach the show, whether that be a letter or a voice memo, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
That's
or you just
right.
want to hit us up on the tweets.
Yeah, hit us up on the tweets.
Hashtag weeklyplanetpod or tweet directly at us. But maybe put that hashtag in it because then I do a search for it every week. See what comes up, what's been drummed up.
That's right.
What do you got in terms of letter?
Speaking of drummed up.
Drumming.
This is from McLean.
Hello,
McLean. Weekly whackadadoos in the Canadian Army.
Ooh.
Hey, James and Mace, I've been listening to the pod for 4 years now and have never met another weekly whackadoo in the wild. This week, though, I was walking out of the mess hall on the military base I'm stationed at and walked past another soldier listening to the pod out loud on his phone.
Wow.
As James is a man of the world, I thought you would appreciate the strange fact that troops across the world from you are walking around bases blaring the pod for all to hear.
What a...
Love the pod, always look forward to each new episode. Thank you, McLean.
What an absolute psychopath.
What a bowl. What a power move. Hey, does anybody in this base like just Star Wars talk when nobody knows what they're talking about? Well, I do, and I'm going to make you all listen to it.
That is incredible.
That's great stuff.
But they didn't talk.
Doesn't sound like
that. I mean, I wouldn't because I'd be like, Jesus.
Yeah. Maybe you could be like, hey, I also listen to that, but shut up.
Exactly.
Shh. Put your headphones in. What, are you allergic to headphones?
Claire and I had a discussion about that and how old people play their music out loud. Because, like, you know, some people, like, consider it a cultural thing and whatever. And I'm like, I understand that. I'm like, fine. Get some fucking headphones.
Sure.
Like, that, I don't care. Like, but, like, and she made mention, like, if you're in the park or whatever and you're walking, yeah, whatever. But, like, if you're around people, don't do that. What's wrong with you? It's like, you know, boomers on their speakerphones.
Oh, yeah.
In cafes.
Wow.
Stop it.
Mm.
Anyway, what are we doing? I got a tweet
here. You got a tweet? Let's hear it. It's
from Andrew, who says, thoughts on doing a Tenet commentary where you and Mason explain it as it goes, as the movie goes. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
I think this would be a movie commentary we'd have to get a practice run in, I think.
Yeah, do we? Is it one of those ones where we'd try to understand it fully and go in and really concentrate, or we just mostly ignore it and just
that
talk?
That one. Yeah, that one. Yeah. We're talking about breakfast cereal for most of it.
Yeah, that's the one that we'd do.
Tenetos.
I don't want to watch Tenet ever again.
Wow.
What about you?
Well, see, I should...
I didn't hate it.
No, I think I said at the time I should probably wait for home release and watch it with the subtitles on. Maybe I'll buy it tomorrow on the Blu-ray and re-watch it with the subtitles and see if I get more out of it. I mean, it looked good, you know?
I agree.
Stylish movie. Everybody said lots of smart words.
There was a boat. They're on a yacht. They're like, we're on this yacht.
That's right.
Let's do some exposition on this yacht. What do you think? What do you think? That's worse than having music on your phone, what you're doing there.
Oh, right.
It's weird. Not you.
Oh, okay, right.
I was talking to you.
Yes.
What would you...
I was doing this.
Oh, that's fine. I don't care. Well, I don't care about that.
I don't know.
Is that worse than music?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
In your mind. In your diseased brain, it is.
You diseased maniac. All right, what else you got in terms of letters?
Oh,
do you have any other letters?
This one from Adrian.
Hello, Adrian.
Just wanted to say thanks, it says.
Done.
Hi. Yeah, there's more.
Oh.
Yeah. Seem disappointed.
Fine.
Hi, I've been listening to your podcast since Spider-Man Homecoming. Always a treat to have a new pod to listen to on my commute come Mondays.
No doubt.
Commute home Mondays. 2 weeks ago, my wife gave birth to our fourth child. Last week, I had a vasectomy.
Nice.
It felt like I've been kicked in the nuts for a week straight. My balls swelled up to twice their regular size. The podcast has helped it feel like my balls are just their regular size. Thanks for the good times and carefully grab those gems from Adrian. Thank you, Adrian.
Man, imagine having balls double the size, but a podcast being so good you didn't even know your balls were double the size.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Now, I would like him to be saying that out loud in a park. Hey, this podcast makes me feel like my balls are regular size. But they're actually currently big balls because of the vasectomy I had.
You wouldn't believe it.
Oh, my God.
Four kids straight up.
Yeah.
That's a man who knows what he wants. No more kids.
Sure.
I've been talking about doing that. I think I've been telling you. I might have even mentioned on the show.
Sure.
Just for the ball inflation more than anything.
That's right. Look at them go, you could say.
Yeah.
Good times.
Would you get a vasectomy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Live on the podcast. Wow. We'll live stream it, yeah.
Well, me and Levins talked about doing it, I think. Did we? Or somebody else? Was it Levins? I might have been
Did you ask Levins to perform a vasectomy on you?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got many skills, but I don't
know.
No, think
it was a different person. We were talking about doing it head to tail, to double self vasectomy.
Wow.
But it wasn't Levins.
Wow.
So there you go. Yeah.
It might have been Charlie Clausen.
No, it was a guy. You know.
Okay, right.
But it wasn't him.
But that's your two other friends.
Those are all my friends. You're right. This is from John, who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. How awesome would it be if in Doctor Strange 2 he ends up in the comic book universe from the 60s or 70s and has to interact with characters with the dumbest costumes, ways of speaking, and terrible hair, and he could give Don Cheadle armor with roller skates too.
Oh, my God.
I would kind of love to see.
What if he went back to that era when everything was just... The animation was just traced comic panels with one frame of animation.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Wasn't there...
And the theme song that goes, ha, 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 ha. You know that one?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Ma, 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 ma. We did a video on it.
Yeah.
We made fun of this thing, which was probably fine for the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But what was I going to say? Wasn't there an article this week how the Earth... One of the Earths they visit in Spider-Man is Earth 616 or something.
Oh, the actual comic
so
book universe.
So we could actually get that universe.
Wow.
I guess, if you want.
But in live action.
That's what I mean.
That's amazing.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes.
So you'd have to recast everybody, probably.
Or, you know, what about this? What if you get all the, whatever actors are currently available.
Yeah.
You give them a weird.
1960s Sheen.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Whatever.
I'd like even modern day, like the modern day look, but it's kind of
a weird sheen.
Like it could be the creep. It could be give. It's like an Uncanny Valley universe. It's so close to reality, but it isn't. This is weird. I don't like this.
So there's only like 3 frames.
Yeah, yeah.
Every 12 minutes or whatever that show works on.
Yes.
Great stuff.
Great stuff.
Is that everything?
That's the whole show, wow, Jones.
Then we got to wrap it up.
All right.
We got to get out of here.
Okay.
What would you say if you had to wrap up this show?
If I had to wrap up this show,
let me just check if there's more news.
I would say thank you all for listening. The internet. I would say thank you for liking the show and subscribing to the show.
I do like
the
show.
And telling a friend about the show or lying to a friend to get them to listen to the show or going on a military base and blaring the show to people even though they don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Except for that one guy who wants to hear it but not currently. He'll do it later in his bunk, one assumes.
His bunk.
His bunk.
Mm.
Thank you for leaving a nice review if you've done that. James,
I'm really happy to leave a nice review. I was more than impressed with my ability to do this. This is from a DK Baker A, who says, best podcast. Far and away my favorite podcast ever. It's definitely strange to be so attached to 2 podcast hosts whom you've never met. 5 stars, straight up.
But you will.
They did it in an app. That's right, you could. Mm. And this one's from Chicken Poop Poop Gaming, says, again, 5 stars. As a scientific fact, this podcast brings noise to my ears. 5 stars out of 10. But you go, it was a 5. It's a 5. So,
Thank you, Chicken Poop Poop Gaming.
should I check a YouTube channel?
Yeah, see what's there. Yeah. Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod @gmail, @Facebook, @Twitter, @Bandcamp. You can go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can sign up to the newsletter from the great Rob Collings. He is at Rob Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter. Wikipedia Brown on Twitter. And on Instagram, I'm Nick Maso, NS. It doesn't matter.
Were you doing a double plug then, or did you make a mistake?
Who knows what I said the first time. And I'm Nick Maso, NICKMASEAU on Instagram. James, you're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
There's two channels. One's called Chicken Poop Gaming and one's called Chicken Poop Crew Gaming.
Do you think maybe the first channel was so popular that they're like, we got to, you know.
That has 8 subscribers, so yes. Second channel has 5 subscribers.
Good work, Chicken Poop Poop Gaming. I can only dream of those.
No, this
kind
is
of
Chicken Poop Gaming.
Oh, sorry, right.
Could be different.
Yeah, it could be. That's true. Maybe they're rivals. folks, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. You can chuck in a buck if you so desire. We'd love it.
Give us a buck.
You can go to
like a chicken.
Chicken Poop Poop Gaming. You can also go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description. If you want to buy some stuff through Amazon, you can also go to bigsandwich.co. You can sign up for $9 per month or whatever that translates to in your currency. You get all kinds of bonus podcasts and movie commentaries, early release videos and podcasts and all kinds of stuff.
Something's on Big Sandwich this week. Is it? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
But it's up there.
It's great.
Collings puts it up, yeah.
Maybe we'll even do even more different stuff in future.
I agree.
Yeah. When we have flash of
more ideas.
More ideas. That's all we need is more idea.
Maybe we could start a channel called Chicken Poop 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 Gaming.
Triple the poop.
Triple
the savings. Yeah. We're selling bags of chicken poop.
That's everything then?
That is the whole show. Thank you to the Bruce and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. We've got some t-shirts on
tpublic.com.
Just search for the Weekly Planet. Get a real one. Get a bootleg one. Get that weird one that we saw on eBay the other day. Why not? Treat yourself.
If you're in Crete, take a photo of that one that they sell.
The Crete Wars one, yeah.
We don't know. Yeah. We don't know.
Love it though.
Every now and then we get sent it. We don't know. We don't know.
If you're in Greece, buy one. Say a gracias,
please,
senor.
Next week might be Spiral.
Oh, from the Book of Saw.
Yeah.
Did he have a book?
No. It's probably made of skin and I don't know, a bathroom tile.
Pop up. No, it would have been a pop-up book.
He would have,
like
the little
bathroom, and you'd open it and you'd be like, what is put his time bathroom in this?
He could have put his time into, like, children's hospitals.
Yeah.
But no.
Children's Television Workshop.
Anything
Make
else.
Make some Muppets.
Make some Muppets, mate.
Mm.
All right.
Anyway, grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. Let me just check if I did ask who I asked to get a vasectomy with.
Okay, how are you going to check that?
I'm going to bring my 3 friends.
Sure. Get them at a party line. Everybody.
Was it you?
Levins.
Levins,
did I talk to you about my balls?
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.